Okay, so for the topic of Darva Harif, we're going to break this up, Ezra Hashem, into roughly six different topics. We're going to have to talk about, we know that the standard case, of course, of Darva Harif is if you use a fleshik knife in order to cut a Darva Harif. So the first question that we'll have to figure out, of course, is how much of exactly of this Darva Harif is fleshik. We'll have to talk about Te'ima. We'll, Ezra Hashem, talk about what kinds of other vegetables might be included in this category of Darva Harif. We'll talk about Sak and Ein Ben Yomo. Then we'll talk about the difference between a fleshik knife and a treif knife. We'll talk about various vegetables that the different Jewish communities used to buy from Goyim, brought up in the Ramah. And then we'll talk about the unique ability that lefes has to serve as like a neutralizer. Okay. So, in terms of the makar for Darva Harif, so the story begins really on Kufyat Aleph Amad Beis, going to Kufyat Beis Amad Aleph in Chulin. The Gemara there, Chizkiya says, quoting from Abaye, the Gemara just got finished talking about Dagam Sha'alu Bakara, right, the sugya of Nat Bar Nat. And Chizkiya comes along and he tells you that you should know that yes, Dagam Sha'alu Bakara, I'm masking that if I have piping hot fish that I took off the coals and I put it onto a fleshik plate, can I now eat it with kutach? Can I eat it with milchiks? Yes, you can. And that's like the sugya that we said before, Shitas Shmuel. The Shmuel held that that's because it's nat barnat. However, Chizkiya says you should know that the halakha is not the same when it comes to using a fleshik knife in order to cut darva harif, in order to cut a tzanon. If you would use a fleshik knife in order to cut a radish, says Chizkiya, you would not be able to use that radish. You would not be able to eat that radish together with kutach, with milchiks. Why not? Because of the harifus of the tznon, because of the sharp flavor within the tznon, that somehow facilitates a transfer of tam from the fleshik knife into that tznon, into that radish. So again, what Chizkiya is basically doing is he's saying that there's a contrast here between Dagam Sha'al Bakara and Tzanon. That if, in the case of Dagam Sha'al Bakara, if I have a piping hot fish that I put I took them off from the coals, they're parved right now, and I put them onto a fleshik plate, I'm allowed to eat that fish together with kutach. I don't have to be as concerned about the fact that the fish might be absorbing tam, might be pulling out tam from the fleshik plate, in which case the tam of basar is meeting up with kutach. That's not a problem. However, if I use a fleshik knife in order to cut a radish, so then the radish cannot be eaten together with kutach. So the question is that, well, why exactly is that not a case of nat bar nat? But the idea of nat bar nat is that, let's say, with our case of Dagam Sha'al Bakara, I have meat that goes from the meat source, from a piece of meat into the plate, into our plate, which is now fleshik, and from that plate, there's a heat conduit that allows that pulls out that meat flavor from the plate into this food, into our case would be the fish. And so, now the question is if I can eat that fish together with kutach, and we said before that the answer is yes, if you hold like Shmuel, and that's how Chizkiya is passing as well. So similarly, for our case where I'm using a fleshik knife in order to cut a radish, so the conduit, at least in this case, for transferring the tam, wouldn't be heat, but it would be the sharp flavor of the radish. So I have a meat flavor that went into the knife, and from the knife, it's going into the radish, and how is it getting there? Through the conduit, through not heat, but through the sharpness of the radish. And now the question is if I'm allowed to eat that radish together with kutach. So why are you telling me that this is different than Dagam Sha'al Bukhara? So Rashi explains that there's two variables that exist when it comes to Darva Harif that we do not have when it comes to Dagam Sha'al Bukhara. And that is as follows. For Dagam Sha'al Bakara, you can pretty much rest assured that the plate is clean. You wipe your plates clean when you're done with them. However, in those days, the knives were not necessarily wiped clean. And therefore, this knife that you're using to cut your radish might actually have some leftover meat residue, or some sort of grease stuck on it. And in which case, if I use this knife in order to cut my radish, I'll actually be imparting my mushes into this radish. That's the first major concern. The second thing that exists by tzanon, by Darva Harif, that does not exist by Dagam Sha'al Bakara, is the fact that there's something that enables a greater transfer of tam from the meat, from the fleshic knife into the radish than exists when you're using heat to transfer tam from a plate into the fish. What is it? Charifus. That charifus, first of all, apparently is something that allows for a greater absorption of meat flavor by the radish from the fleshic knife. Now, that's one thing. The other thing that might contribute to the fact that the radish will have a greater absorption of meat flavor from the knife than the fish, that in our case of Dagam Shal Bakar, will have on the plate, is that I am applying pressure. So because I'm exerting pressure, which we call Duchaka de Sakina, because of this pressure that I'm exerting on this knife, when I'm cutting the radish, that forces out tam from this knife, and pushes it into the radish. So again, so in this sugya, Chizki comes in and he tells us there's a big difference between dagam shal bakara and a tzinon that you slice with a fleshic knife, and that is that the dagam shal bakara is going to be mutter to eat together with kutach. That's a case of nat per nat, but when I use a fleshic knife to cut a radish, the radish is usher to be eaten together with kutach. Why is that? So that's because of the charifus of the tzinon. Why should that make any difference? Says Rashi, first of all, there might be shamnunis on the knife. There might be some sort of mamashis on the knife that's actually being imparted onto the radish. And secondly, there's a greater absorption of basar flavor by the radish. How? Either somehow charifus involves a greater absorption than heat. And secondly, there's duchaka de sakina. Now, there's one other davar charif that the Gemara over here mentions, and that is silka. The Gemara says that silka as well would pose a similar issue. If you'd use beets, if you'd cut beets with a fleshic knife, you'd have the same issue on your hands. Okay. Now, the question is, now that we've established that if I use a fleshic knife in order to cut a devar charif, I'm telling you that you can eat the radish together with kutach, with milchiks. The question is, well, just how fleshic is it? Do we assume that the tam of basar from the knife has penetrated the entire radish? Do we say it's penetrated a portion of the radish? So what's the story? So this is a big machlok. It's a three-way machlok of Rishonim. If you take a look, in the Gemara Avodah Zarah, on Lamed Hay is discussing various things that you might obtain from a guy, and the Mishnah is telling you that these items are usher. Among the list of things that are usher to eat, if you obtain them from a guy, is Karet Shel Chiltas. So if you obtain this herb from a guy, this Karet Shel Chiltas, which we understand is a davar charif of some sort, so then you're not allowed to eat it. It's not usher by no, but you're not allowed to eat it. Now this Karet Shel Chiltas, some translated it as asafetida. Rashi seems to have some sort of translation like silphium. Either way, whatever it is, the Gemara in Eilut Treifas actually mentions this and says that they used to use either the kratim or they used to use the ulam, the leafy part of this herb, or they used to use it the root part of this this vegetable, whatever it was. Here we're talking about the karchil chiltis. We're talking about what seems to be the root part of this herb. So the Gemara asks, well, what exactly is so problematic? Why is it that I'm not allowed to eat this herb that I obtain from a guy? So the Gemara says, because they cut it up using their treif knives. And so if they use their treif knives, so then the whole herb will be usher. So the Rashba says, so what do you see from this Gemara? You see that when you use a knife in order to cut, in this case it's a treif knife, in order to cut a davar charif, like a lakor shel chiltis, so that affects the entire davar charif. And so similarly, the Rashba says, would be the case when it comes to tzinon, that when you're using a fleshic knife in order to cut a tzinon, the entire tznon becomes fleshic, and the Rashba says that that's meduyuk in the lashon of the Gemara. Right, the Gemara says that if you cut a radish using a fleshic knife, it's usher to eat it together with kutach. It sounds like it's written in unequivocal terms. That's the Rashba. However, the Rash disagrees. The Rash says that's not true. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, when it's telling you that the karchel chiltis is usher to eat because they use their treif knives in order to cut it, that's because we don't know exactly where they cut the karchel chiltis, which spots the cuts were. And therefore, because we can't identify it, so the whole thing is usher. Masha'in Kain, when we're dealing with tznon, the tznon doesn't become entirely fleshic. You just have to take off a kadei klipa. It's only the meat, as far as we're concerned, the meat flavor penetrates at most kadei klipa. That's what the Rash says. Now, the Ravid disagrees with both the Rashba's idea and the Rash. And the Ravid says that usher in this Gemara over here Usher in the Gemara of Chulin, where we talk about that it's known that if you cut with a fleshic knife, it's usher to eat with kutach. That lashon usher sounds like it's something more significant than kidei klipim. And the Raiva therefore says that usher sounds like you'd have to take off kidei netila. So again, we have three pshatim here in terms of how fleshic this radish might be when I use a fleshic knife in order to cut it. The Rashba says that the whole thing should be considered like it's permeated with fleshic tam. The Rush says I would have to assume that maybe a kedei klipa. So as long as I peel off a kedei klipa, I'm fine. I can eat the rest of the radish together with kutach. And the Rav would say as long as you take off a kedei netila, then you can eat it with together with kutach. How do we paskin? So the Beis Yosef says that the Rush seems to have a pretty good understanding, a pretty sound explanation for the Gemara and Avodah Zarah. And therefore, even though we're not going to be as makel as the Rush to go so far as to say that all you have to do is peel off a klipa and you're fine, but we can at least be makel like the middle ground, like the Ravid, to say that as long as you take off a kedei netila, then you're fine. Now, what the Beis Yosef also does point out, based on the Rush, which is pretty much explicit in the Gemara and Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph on the Beis, is that, note, if I'm using a fleshic knife in order to cut a tznon, a radish, the tznon is not treif. The tznon is fleshic at most. And if that's the case, why not test taste it? Just taste it to see if there's fleshic tam contained within it, and if there isn't, then it's fine to eat together with kutach. And in fact, the Beis Yosef quotes that the Rush paskins that with Allah. The Rajba says that, yeah, you can test taste it, just you should wash it off before you end up using it for kutach. And if you take a look in the Mechaber, and in the beginning of Simen Tzadi Vav, the Mechaber essentially does present this as Psak Halacha. He presents the Ravid, and he presents this idea from the Rajba that you can do this test tasting in order to determine if it has fleshik tam. The Mechaber writes in Tzadi Vav Aleph, Tzanon o Silka, if you cut a radish or a beet with a fleshic knife, ben yomo or she'ina mekunach, asur l'achum b'chalav, it's asur to eat that together with milk, ad she'ita mimakam achatach, until you remove from the area that was cut, kedei netilas makam, until you remove kedei netilas makam, just like the ravit, shuka ove etzba, which is like the thickness of a finger, oh, she'ita menu, or that you should taste it. V'lo yehei botam basar, she'oz mutar ba'adachah. Because then, as long as you taste it and make sure that there's no meaty flavor in it, then it would be mutar ba'adachah. In other words, he's presenting the Rajba's idea. Now, the Shach tells us that even though the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber, is paskening that you can taste this radish to make sure that it has no meaty flavor in it, this is not lechatchila. The Shach paskins that lechatchila, and this is also what the Taz quotes from the Taras Chattas, that in Taras Chattas he says that we're not bekiyim in this anymore, we're not bekiyim in te'ima, so that's not an option lechatchila. And so the Shach says that lechatchila, you wouldn't be able to just taste this in order to determine that there's no presence of meaty flavor in your radish and then use it for your milchuk soup. However, says the Shach, if you tasted it, and there was no, you didn't sense any fleshic flavor in it, and you cooked it up subsequently in some milchig dish, it would be fine to eat, that would be perfectly mutter. This is, of course, the difference between ti'imas kfeila of a guy versus ti'imas Yisrael, according to the Shach. The Shach would hold that you can never be samach on the ti'ima of a guy. If a guy would test taste your food and make sure that, and he told you, there's no treif flavor in this, even b'di'evit, that wouldn't be okay. However, when it comes to Timas Yisrael, according to the Shach tells you that for Timas Yisrael, b'di'evit, you can be somach on Timas Yisrael. So once you cooked up this radish together with milchik, if you had tasted the radish before you put it in, then that's fine. Now, the Shach points out that this is, of course, in contradistinction with the Levush. The Levush holds that you can never be somach even on Timas Yisrael. Even b'di'evit, you wouldn't be able to somach on Timas Yisrael. Okay. So far we've discussed the basis for Dever Charif, the idea that Dever Charif overrides Nat Bar Nat, the idea of how fleshig the radish might become. We have the three shitas, we have the Ravid, the Rajba, and the Rush. And then we talked about that you can use Timas Kfela, Timas Yisrael, in order to determine the presence of fleshic flavor, of meaty flavor within this, just that you'd have to wash it off according to the Rajman. And then the Shach says that that's not an option, lechatchila. Okay, now, the question becomes, though, is that the Gemara, as far as we know, the Gemara in Chulin makes mention of two kinds of Dever Charifs, either Tzinon, radish, or Silka, beets. And then the Gemara in Avodah Zarah makes mention of this Karchil Chiltas. The question is, are there any other vegetables that might qualify as Dever Charif? Maybe it's only these ones mentioned in the Gemara. Now, This is going to be interconnected with the question about if does it make a difference if I use a sakin to cut, if the fleshik knife that I use to cut the Derek Harif, does it make a difference if that knife is a ben yomo or an ain a ben yomo? And I'll explain to you what I mean. The Maram points out, the Maram Marutenberg points out that there's two basic characteristics that emerge regarding regarding Davar Harif. And the first one we've mentioned was what we discussed about in Rashi, that a Davar Harif has the ability to override Nat Bar Nat. Davar Harif, like when we're talking about the Tznon, that even though the flesh knife that I'm using to cut this milk, this Tznon, this radish, this really should be a case of Nat Bar Nat, but even so, because it's a Davar Harif, that overrides Nat Bar Nat, and there's a greater absorption of flesh tam when I'm cutting this flesh knife. When I'm using this fleshik knife to cut a tznon, then there would be in our case of Dagam Shal Bakar. The second characteristic, the second quality that we find for Davar Harif is in the Gemara Avodah Zarah. And that Gemara in Avodah Zarah where it discusses that the Gayim used their treif knives to cut the Karchel Chiltas, and therefore the Karchel Chiltas that you obtain from a guy would be usser to eat. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. If Gayim are using their treif knives to cut this Karchel Chiltas, so then don't we say that Stam Kelim of Nachum are in B'nei Yoman? So in most, what you're dealing with is a case of Nosin Tam Levgam. So if the guy's Keli is Nosin Tam Levgam, why does that have any bearing on your Karchel Chiltas? Why should that be usher to eat? So the Gemara explains, oh, well, Karchel Chiltas is different because Karchel Chiltas has the ability, because it's Davar Harif, has the ability to convert the Tam Pogum into Tam Leshvach. So the Maram in Rodenberg says there are two qualities that seem to come out now in terms of Davar Harif. The first quality from the Rashi, from the Gemara in Chulin, is the idea that Davar Harif has the ability to serve as to facilitate a greater transfer of flavor from a meaty knife into my radish. But the second quality is that Davar Harif has the ability to convert Tam Pogam into Tam Shvach. So when we say, are there any other vegetables that qualify as Davar Harif? So which qualities are we talking about? Do we mean both the ability to facilitate a transfer, a greater transfer of time from a meaty knife into a vegetable? Or do we also mean the idea, this quality that Chiltas has, to be able to revive Tam Pogam, to turn it, to convert it into Tam Shvach? So the Maram Rutenberg says, while I am willing to go along with the idea that there's a broader category of things other than tznon and silka and beets, in terms of being able to facilitate the transfer of tam from a fleshik knife into vegetables. However, I'm not so ready to say that everything should have a status like chiltas. Chiltas is a very, very unique vegetable. And the Gemara Avodah Zarah, if the Gemara Avodah Zarah felt that there were other vegetables that had the ability to convert tam pogam into tam shach, we should have mentioned that in kol shekein chiltas. The Gemara doesn't seem to be more that way. The Maram ultimately does pass in Lahachmir, but Lamaisa, fundamentally, the Maram in Rotenberg thinks that there should be a very big distinction there. That the only kind of Davar Harif that should be able to have the ability to convert Tam Pogam into Tam Shvach, according to the Maram in Rotenberg, is Karchel Chiltas. However, there are other vegetables that could have the other quality of Davar Harif, and that is the ability to be able to facilitate a greater transfer of tam from meaty flavor, let's say from the fleshik knife, into the vegetable. So things like onions or like garlic. That's the Maram Shita. And in fact, the Beis Yosef seems to understand the Rambam that way as well. The Rambam, when he talks about Davar Harif, he says, he uses tznon as his example. He says if you use a fleshik knife in order to cut a tznon, or kiyotze ba'orth, or the like, Davar HaCharifim, so then you wouldn't be able to eat that tznon together with kutach. So what you see from the Rambam, at least the way that the Beis Yosef seems to understand this Rambam, is that the major quality of Davar Harif that we are zoning in on is the ability to be able to transfer, to override the Nat Bar Nat that there should be, and that there'll be a greater absorption of flavor, of meat flavor from that fleshik knife into that tznon, and there's other vegetables out there like that. But the Rambam does not make any mention of the ability for Davar Harif to be able to convert something that's tam pogam, like an ein ben yomo kli, into a ben yomo kli, into tam shvach. So we have the Maram Rotenberg and we have the Rambam, who seem to be fundamentally agreeing to this idea. However, if you take a look at the Balei HaTosfos, the Balei HaTosfos and Chulin, they leave it as a tzarach in. The Balei HaTosfos and Chulin, Daf Kufyot Beis, has a lashon that says v'tzarach ino masakin mekunach ve'ino ben yomo ichorfedid hu mechali l'shvach kin arminu gabi chiltas. They say tzarach in if other davar harifs like tzinon etc. should have the ability to convert tam hagam into tam shvach. However, even though the balatosa seems somewhat ambivalent about it, the Sefer Truma is much more assertive. The Sefer Truma writes pretty much explicitly that there's a whole bunch of vegetables. It's not just chiltus that has the ability to revive tam pogum into ben yomo, into the status of ben yomo. It's also tzinon, it's also silka. The same thing we would say for shuman, for garlic, or for onions, or for leek, or for tavlin for that matter. The Sefer Truma understands that there's a much broader category of Darvach Harif that include not only the ability to be able to facilitate a greater transfer of Tam and to override Nat Barnat, but also that have the ability to revive Tam Pogam to Tam Shvach, to change a Kli from being an Ein Ben Yom Kli to being a Ben Yom Kli. And the Rashba, even though the Achronim point out that there seems to be a little bit of a steer in the Tshuvas of the Rashba, but the Rashba talks about what about if you use a grinder, a Milchaga grinder, in order to grind a tavlin. So the Rashba does suggest that if you have a significant amount of tavlin that you're grinding up, then it could be that also could convert an Ein Ben Yomo Milchaga grinder into a Ben Yomo grinder. The Rebbeinu Baruch also writes explicitly, like the Rebbeinu Baruch is quoted by the Smack. The Rebbeinu Baruch also seems to hold very much like the Sefer Truma that we have a broad list of Darvach Harifs, like Shumin, garlic, onions, leeks, etc. They all have the same din as Tzinon and Chiltus and would have the ability to convert Tam Pagam into Tam Shvach. Okay, now the Smag tempers the Sefer Truma a little bit. The Smag says that yes, the Sefer Truma does hold that if I use a fleshik knife in order to cut onions, then that would be a case of Darvach Harif. However, the Sefer Truma says that that's only if I'm dealing with someone who, in a case where I diced up the onions. If I wouldn't have diced up the onions, I would have just cut it, then even the Sefer Truma might be on board with the idea to just pull out a little bit. Okay. So far what we've discussed is the makar for Darvach Harif, the idea that Darvach Harif overrides Nat Barnat, the idea that how fleshik does it become, the three of machlokas between the Ravid, the Rosh, and the Rashba, the idea that you could do ti'ima in order to determine the presence of meaty flavor, however the Shach's Paskin's connected to Mechaber, that you can't do that l'chatchila, only b'di'evid. We talked about whether other vegetables are nichlal in the gedder of Darvach Harif, so we said that many people are on board, most Rishonim are on board with the idea that the quality that Darvach Harif has to be able to involve or engender this greater absorption of flavor into the vegetable, that everyone seems to be on board with. The only question is whether the characteristic to be able to revive Tam Pagam to Tam Shvach, the characteristic that seems to be solely attributed to Karat Shulchotis, does that apply by other things? And that's a big machlokas between the Rambam and the Ram Rotenberg on the other hand, and the Sefer Truma, along with Rebbeinu Baruch, along with the Rashba somewhat, who would be machmer, they would say that Darvach Harif, all kinds of Darvach Harif have that quality as well. Now, by the way, the Ram Rotenberg, he writes that I am going to pass him like the Sefer Truma. I just want you to know, I'm going to pass him like the Sefer Truma that Darvach Harifs, we have a broader category of Darvach Harifs, and they include many things, and they have both abilities, both characteristics of Darvach Harifs, but I'm definitely not going to be moch anybody who has the practice to be makel. Okay, so that takes care of that. The next topic that we just have to bring up just briefly is the idea that there is a difference, there might be a difference, between cutting a Darvach Harif with a fleshig knife versus cutting a Darvach Harif with a treif knife. Right? This is what we've talked about in the past, the machlokas between the Rebbeinu Ephraim and the Rebbeinu Tam, whether Hanan applies by Shari Sum as well. But again, the same idea that we're going to have over here is that if you do say the Hanan applies by Shari Sum, not just by Bas B'Cholov, so then there's going to be a big difference if I use a fleshig knife in order to cut an onion versus if I use a treif knife to cut an onion. If I use a fleshig knife to cut an onion, then the onion doesn't become, in like, it's a piece of meat. That's not what happens. The onion contains fleshig fleishik tan. And therefore, if I would cook up that onion in a milchuk pot, in a milchuk soup, as long as there's 60 parts of heter against the tam of basr that's contained within that onion, then that's okay. However, if I would use a treif knife in order to cut an onion, assuming that it's treif not because it was basr v'chalav, but it's treif, let's say, because it was used for a nevela or something like that, so then that entire onion, if you hold of chanan, if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, then we would say that the entire onion would become treif, and you would need 60 parts of heter, not just against the belios that are contained within that onion, but you'd need 60 parts against the entire onion. And if you take a look at the Mechaber in Tzadi Vav, the Mechaber writes, if I can get it open, the Mechaber writes, first of all, in terms of the categories of things that would qualify as davar harifs, so first of all, it's important to note that at the end of Tzadi Vav Aleph, he does present the shita of the Sefer Truma, where he says, "V'yesh omrim duhu adin le'enu ben yomo," that if you have an enu ben yomo, you'd also have a problem of for davar harif. V'im lo natal behem mehem kedein tilas makam v'gam lo tamam ubishlam b'chalav tzarek shishim kenegin mashin nagam mehasakin behem v'hu adin l'chatkam besakin shal gayim. And here the mechaber is l'shitase. The Rama tells you v'im chatachan dak tzarek l'shair shishim negin kolat tzanon. If you chopped it up, if you diced the onion, let's say, then you'd need 60 against the whole tzanon, but not otherwise. Not if you would have cut it in half, let's say. Now the Rama goes on to say, "V'yesham shim chatach tznon b'sakin shel iser kulo aser." Some say that if you use a sakin shel iser in order to cut the tznon, then the whole thing is aser. V'chein im chatach b'sakin shel baser aser kulo b'chalav v'chein nogan lechatchila avol b'di'evet ein la'asor rak day netila. So. This is going to again come down to the machlokas between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Ephraim. If we say Hanan applies by Shari Surim as well, the Rama does present his standard shita that we pass in, that we're going to pass in la halacha like the Rabbeinu Tam, that we're going to say Hanan applies by Shari Surim, and therefore you're going to need 60 parts of heter against the entire davar harif that you cut. Now, there is an important point that the Shach brings up, and that is that when we say that we need 60 parts against the entire onion, again, if I'm cutting up the onion, so the Rama did point out that there's a difference if you dice the onion versus if you chop the onion in half. If I dice the onion, then I might need 60 parts against the entire thing. However, what the Shach points out is that, again, when we're talking about, even if I used a treif knife to cut the onion, let's say I used a treif knife just to cut off the top of a radish. So now I tell you, is the whole radish going to be a chaticha shel nevela? Do we paskin that chanan applies by shari shurim as well? So if I use the treif knife in order to cut the radish, just the top off, is the whole radish going to be treif? When I say that I need 60 parts against the radish, do I need 60 parts and not the belios? Does that mean against the entire onion? Or does that mean, or the entire radish? Or does that mean a portion of the radish? So what the Shach points out, which is connected to Meram Milublin and the connected to Lavush, is that I'm not going to need 60 parts against the entire radish. It's not that the belief, I'm going to need 60 parts against whatever amount of radish was penetrated, was permeated with tam of iser. I'm not going to need 60, it's not that I'm going to need 60 against the belios of it, I'm going to need 60 against the whole part of the radish that was affected, but I'm not going to need 60 parts against the entire radish, because the entire radish was not affected. This is against the Lavush. The Lavush passes, you actually would need 60 parts against the entire radish if you cut off one portion of the radish using a treif knife. Okay. Now, so far we've discussed the basis, why it is that that davar harif overrides nat bar nat. We talked about how fleishig the radish might become if you use a fleishig knife. We talked about the idea of te'ima. We talked about that davar harif applies to other vegetables other than the ones that are mentioned in the Gemara. The only question is if we were going to apply both characteristics of davar harif to other vegetables as well, the machlokes between the Sefer Truma and the Meram Merutenberg. And then, of course, the difference between a fleishig knife and a treif knife and how that manifests itself in terms of dicing. Now, there's a whole bunch of vegetables that the Rama and the basis of a little bit mentioned in terms of that various communities had by their markets, the guy would come and sell all these different vegetables, and so it was a question of whether you allowed to buy those vegetables. Among them, the Dark Mishnah was from this Ravatar Arach that the guy used to show up with garlic or onions that had the I think what we would call the scapes, what the Darki Moshe quotes as calling the zanavos, the tails, the green leafy part or the higher part which I think we would call the scapes of the garlic or the onions. So the guy would snip off that part. So the question is, are you allowed to buy those onions or garlics? And so the answer was, yes, you are, because the scapes of the onions is not the harif part. The scape is much more mild, and so that's not an issue. Same thing for the tzinon, same thing for radishes. If you'd show up and they'd be selling this radish that had the green part, the scape snipped off, that wouldn't be a problem. However, let's say you come to the market and they had radishes that had a little bit more than that. That had a portion of, or let's say onions, that had a little portion of the bulb that was cut off. What would be the story in that case? So the Isser Vetter HaArech writes that in that case, you actually have an interesting kulin. That is, that you can assume that they used their spades when they were harvesting their onions, whatever it was, or their radishes, you can assume that they used their spades in order to sever that. And therefore, you wouldn't have a problem of them using their treif knives in order to cut it. You wouldn't have a problem with their karif being cut by a treif knife. And he gives you a big kula. He says, even up until a third or even a half, all the way down the radish, that would be fine. A little bit more than that, then you'd have to be nervous. He talks about some other vegetables as well. It's important to note that the Darkei Moshe also quotes from the smag. Again, this is brought down by the Isser Vetter HaArech as well, that the smag was made when it came to ginger. That if a guy had ginger, you can get hold of ginger from a guy. What's the reason? As long as it's totally dried up, there's no problem. Why not? Because stam kelim ein b'nei yomen. And so the Darkei Moshe suggests that the smag was paskening, not like the Sefer Truma. He was paskening like the Meraim Rutenberg. Okay, we're not going to get into that so much now. There's a couple other ones that come up. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Shabbat Aleket that he brings from B'Shem Reb Yeshaya, who talks about what about limonish shel gaim, which sounds like lemons that they brought from gaim. The gaim would show up with these, they would apparently, the way that the lemons were sold in some way, were in great big barrels. So the question is, are you allowed to eat those lemons if they come in great big barrels? And so what they would do is, apparently, is that they would cut up the lemons. So do we have to assume that they're using their treif knives in order to cut these lemons, and maybe these lemons count as some sort of a davar harif? So what the Shabbat Aleket quotes from Rabbi Yishaya is that there wouldn't be a problem, because maybe they used a treif knife to cut the lemons, but presumably they were cutting a whole bunch of onions, so by the time they got past the first or second one, the iser was batal. That whatever iser was in the knife was batal. In which case, now you have one or two lemons in this great big barrel filled with lemons. So those would be batal anyway. Similarly, we would say for a barrel filled with tunina, some sort of maybe the tuna fish that was very very salty or pickled, and if they cut that, so maybe they use their treif knives in order to cut the fish. But again, you'd have the same idea that the time of the sacrament would be batal if there was such a tremendous number of fish being cut like that. The Darkei Moshe quotes from the Merari Vial, who also has in a tshuva that he talks about cabbage that was sold by Goyim. If you have cabbage that you get from Goyim and the cabbage was chopped up, is that okay? And he passes that, of course, would be usher. And what if the Goyim tell you that we have special utensils in order to cut this cabbage? That's also not okay. He talks about also apparently they used to make some sort of a borscht, I guess without the tomatoes, but he says if you have, let's say, a whole cabbage that they used to boil up, so as long as you cut off a little bit, or scrape off a little bit, then that would potentially be okay. And if you take a look in the Ramah, he more or less quotes most of these halachos in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. He more or less quotes these halachos. The Beis Yosef himself makes mention of a number of them. In terms of the range of the kinds of things that we say that qualify as Darvach Harif, the Mechaber tells you in Tzadiv of Beis that if you cut garlic or onions or leek or the like, that all would have the same din as Sinon. And the Ramah then tells you, I read the wrong Ramah. The Ramah, if you would take a look in Tzadivav Aleph, the Ramah tells you towards the end of Tzadivav Aleph that, here it is, L'chein konim atzinonos, you can purchase radishes, sheyesh bahen chatuchin l'tzad zinovos, in that they're cut off towards where the scapes of those radishes were, kitalinin shenazi b'marva chatzina, because we can assume that was done using the spades that they used to harvest them. Similarly, b'makam sheinim t'liknos, rak ha'chatuchim, he says you can be makel. The Mechaber tells you the Tavlin is also, it would be the same thing. He passes like that. Rajba. Meili monish, shemeviim agayim. What about this lemon juice that the guy bring? V'chin chetichos, dag, malech, or this, the cut up fish. Shemeviim agayim bechavios. The Mechaber says, are mutarim. That's perfectly fine. Okay. The last point that we're really going to talk about is the unique effects of lefes. The Gemara on Kuf Yud Beis Mem Aleph and Chulin mentions that lefes has this ability to neutralize the knife, a fleshig knife. So if you use a fleshig knife to cut a turnip, and then afterwards you use it to cut a beet, so then that's going to be fine. The beet will not be considered fleshig. And Rashi explains that's because the tam of the lefes manages to neutralize the fleshig tam contained within the meaty knife. And so the Beis Yosef does quote that. He just wants to know, what would you say? If you had a whole bunch of beets to cut, would you need to cut up one lefes and then one beet and then one lefes and one beet? Would you have to alternate like that? Or once you cut one lefes, that neutralizes the knife and therefore you'd be able to use this for whatever amount of beets afterwards. So the Beis Yosef says, I'm inclined to think that all you'd have to do is cut one lefes, cut one turnip, and then afterwards the knife is neutralized and so you can use it afterwards. It's no longer considered fleshit. However, he says that I saw from the smag does not seem to hold that way. And he says it could be that it's meduik in the lush and the gemara that way. The gemara doesn't say if you cut one turnip, then you can go around and cut a whole bunch of other things after that. The lush and the gemara doesn't sound like that. Now, what the basis of, does quote from the Rashba is that the Rashba notes that the Rif and the Ram don't make any mention about this unique characteristic of lefes. And so the basis of tries to suggest how it's possible that the Ram and the Rif really were on board with this idea of lefes. Le'alacha. In Shulchan Aruch, if you take a look toward the very end of Tzadivav, the Mechaber writes, after he talks about cucumbers we know is no issue. Cucumbers is definitely not a Dever Charif, and most you'd have to scrape off a little bit. But the Mechaber says in the middle of Tzadivav Hay, he says, V'imchatach bo lefes, afilu greida, inu tzarech, ela hadach ba'ama, v'lo od ela afilu tznon, shechatach acha lefes. If you cut a radish after cutting up the lefes, shari ba'dacha kima lefes. All you'd have to do is rinse it off, and then you'd be okay. Okay, I think we're going to hold here.